something completely different.
Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes. A very blessed Merry Christmas here. Our pre-Christmas, I suppose.
Christmas special for Wrestling the Basics. Been looking forward to this for a long time now. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Emmanuel Lutheran in Waterloo, Illinois.
And I'm Pastor John Lukumsky, Jolly John Lukumsky, that is. From St. Paul's in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran in Darmstadt, Illinois.
Not to be confused with the other jolly guy this time of year.
Oh, that's right. I get a lot of
Saint Nick. Yeah, I'm sure you do.
I start laughing and people think I'm Santa Claus, and then they look at me and realize that I'm way too fat to be Santa.
It's kind of awkward in the mall when more people are coming to you than to the,
I know
the other Santa.
And they want to sit on my lap all the time. That's what really bothers me. But this is, as Matt says, our Christmas episode, and it's also our second in our marathon recording sessions. So we're going to be doing this for 4 shows straight all at once, just so you have some new material over the holidays. And you know what the key thing is when you run a marathon, Matt?
What's that?
You have to pace yourself. Okay. Lot of people, they burn out because they give everything they have in the first episode, and then they're shot. So in order to pace ourselves, we have a very special thing we're going to do on this Christmas episode. Play the sound effect, by the way, Matt. So,
isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Okay.
So
that's what we're devoting ourselves to, is what Christmas is all about. And what a lot of people, I didn't know this, so I know no one else knows this. You are, well, I mean, you know it. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, because you're the guy they're grooming to replace Barbara Walters. You didn't tell me that.
Oh, well, the cat's out of the bag now.
Okay. Well, I hope I'm not getting you into trouble. Is this something that the studio wanted to keep you secret or something?
No, I think it's okay. I think it's something I can do in addition to Wrestling with the Basics.
Yeah,
The Barbara Walters gig.
Once you get that, you'll forget about us.
Oh, never.
All right. Well, I'm holding you to that, Matt. I'm holding you to that. So I understand you've been going around doing interviews with people, practicing so you can do like Barbara Walters.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. I want to get my interview skills honed, and those are some big shoes to fill.
Oh, they are. They are. But she is getting kind of old. Did you see that one she did a few? Yeah, she's age is showing. I think she's ready.
What happened to the other guy? She's Hugh Downs. They're on 2020 together.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
But Barbara's
no, I know.
Still going strong.
You get old, you got to retire, and the young blood has to come in to replace you. So, who did you interview? Who did you do the interview?
I interviewed Amos.
Oh, the guy that was the shepherd at Christmas?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this will be good for our marathon. So you and I can take a little breather here, get our strength back for the next 2 episodes, and we'll just play this interview. Have you got it ready? Is it handy?
Very good. Barbara Walters knew the guy. She was around back then, too.
Oh, boy. Barbara's going to start sending you emails.
All right, now. There's no time for foolishness.
Okay. And there isn't. So let's start the Matt Clark interview with Amos, the shepherd.
My name is Matt Clark, and I am pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Illinois. But this morning I come to you not as a pastor, but rather as a roving reporter for KFUO Radio. As a reporter for KFUO, I often get to meet interesting characters, some of local importance and some of even biblical importance. I've brought one of those characters with me today. He's none other than Amos, the shepherd. That's right. One of the original shepherds who was there the night Christ was born. Amos, we're glad to have you here with us.
Well, glad to be here, Pastor Matt. I bring you greetings from all your brethren there on the Judean hillsides.
Amos, we've asked you here today because we thought with Christmas coming and everything, it would be nice to hear a first-person account of the events that night.
Well, I kind of figured that's what you might be looking for, but, really, I'm a little bit shy, and I'm not really that good with speechifying and stuff like that. I don't know.
Oh, come on, Amos. It would be very exciting for us to actually hear an eyewitness account of that first Christmas.
Well, I'll try, but I got to warn you, I'm a man of few words. to be truthful with you, actually, I am kind of proud of being one of the original shepherds. In fact, I'm one of the witnesses that there Dr. Luke talked to. Yep, a good portion of that story in the Bible came from me.
Well, then tell us your story as well, if you would, Amos.
Well, the one thing that bothers me is how people have taken the Christmas story and made it out to be such a sweet, cutesy thing, when there's nothing cute about it at all. In fact, it's a story of disappointment, adultery, divorce, betrayal, even murder.
Boy, that does sound different than the story we usually see in the Christmas pageants.
Well, just think about it, Pastor Matt. The Christmas story begins with a woman, a young girl, 14, 15 years old, pregnant without a real husband. Well, you know how people look upon gals like that even today. But it was far worse when I grew up. Well, a girl like that could be accused of adultery and stoned to death.
You're right. We forget what a difficult situation Mary was in when she was with child.
Oh, you better believe it. In fact, right after she found out she was with child, why, she headed out of town right away. Went down south to live with a relative of hers, a gal by the name of Elizabeth. Now, later on, a lot of people thought it was out of shame that she left her home in Nazareth and went off to live with her kinsfolk Elizabeth. Of course, it wasn't shame at all. She had an important reason to see Elizabeth, a reason of faith, but I'll talk about that later. She might not have left Nazareth for shame, but it might have been shame and fear that caused her to stay there for 3 months. You see, by that time, she knew what was happening.
What do you mean she knew what was happening?
Well, you know what I mean. After 3 months, any gal would know. She was going to have a baby. A baby conceived by none other than the Holy Spirit. Oh, but the problem was how to convince her fiancé Joseph of that fact.
Well, that's a good point. How did Joseph respond after he found out his betrothed was with child and he wasn't the father?
Well, I suppose he responded like any man would. When Mary returned home to Nazareth, already well into her pregnancy, as I said, Joseph naturally assumed she must have been fooling around. Of course, being a righteous man, that is, he was a man of faith, he wouldn't have her publicly tried, but would result in the aforementioned punishment if he had done that. But instead, he decided to have her quietly divorced. But imagine how Mary must have felt in all of this. Here she was with child, the talk of the neighborhood, all alone, and about to be abandoned by the one she loved.
You're right, Amos. It's not a pretty picture at all.
For some reason, which we can talk about later, Joseph changes his mind. He decides to go ahead and take her for his wife, even though he knows the tongues will be wagging when they compare the marriage date to his child's first birth date.
Well, I suppose things did settle down, though.
Well, they did for a while. But if Mary and Joseph didn't have bad luck, they wouldn't have any luck at all.
What do you mean?
Well, Mary was almost ready to have the baby when they got notice from the government that they'd have to return to their hometown and register for the census. Now, ain't that just like the government passing laws without thinking how it might affect people? All they was worried about was getting their taxes. Like it's any different today. Boy, every time April 15th rolls around,
Amos, back to the story.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
Taxes, this whole tax thing and that fiscal cliff, it just gets me all worked up, and I don't know.
They do, most of us. It gets us worked up, too. But if you could get back to Mary and Joseph.
Okay, all right, well, anyways, here she is 9 months pregnant, and they're going to have to make a journey all the way to Bethlehem. Now, you got to remember, they couldn't just jump in a car or hop on a plane. We're talking a good 3 to 4 day journey on foot.
On foot? Well, I've always pictured Mary riding on the back of a donkey.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those pictures, too. But it seems unlikely to me. You know, I didn't actually see that part of the story. But, you know, they were poor folk to start off with and newly married at that. When you first just get married, you don't have all the finer things in life. Well, when my wife, bless her soul, and I were first hitched, well, we were lucky to have a couple of chickens, a little less a donkey. How about you, Pastor Matt?
Well, I can honestly say when I married Lisa, we didn't have a donkey to our name.
Well, my point exactly. But that was just the first of their problems. After that long journey, they finally arrive at Bethlehem. And, well, guess what?
What?
Well, there's no room for them in the inn. It was like trying to find a place to stay in St. Louis when the Cardinals play the Cubs. Now, there's something else that always gets my goat. Now, why didn't them highfalutin city folk give them a place to stay? I mean, the woman was 9 months pregnant. Surely you think somebody would be kind enough to let them lodge under their roof.
Well, the name's Matt, by the way. Not Shirley.
Oh, sorry about that.
But yes, you might have expected there would be at least one kind-hearted soul.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? And of course, you know what gets me. People today think they would be different. Oh, shoot, you would not only take him in, you would have given up your own bed for Mary to lay the baby. Well, of course you would, but only because you know who they are. I bet if some stranger came to your house in the middle of the night, oh, yeah, you'd welcome him with open arms. Sure you would. I just get so aggravated at how inhospitable people can be, and people today are no different than any of those in Bethlehem.
Why? Amos, your point is well taken.
Oh.
I think we'd all admit we're not always as compassionate as maybe we should be. But would you please continue your story?
Okay, I'm sorry. I get a little worked up sometimes. Well, you know, Joseph, he was a hard-working, concerned husband, and he did the best he could for Mary. And he did find a warm stable for them to bed down in. But then the real trouble started.
Well, what do you mean, Amos?
Of all the nights, that was the night the baby decided to be born. Talk about birth pangs. And you know, once them babies make up their mind to come, there's no stopping them, isn't it?
That's for sure.
Yeah, about the only thing that did work out that night was there was a manger there, and they could use it for a crib. But you see, my point, the Christmas story isn't cute at all. It's a story of adversity, fear, disappointed, and hard-hearted people.
And now I see what you're talking about.
It's kind of good it was that way, though, Pastor Matt. As I sees it, there are a lot of people going into this Christmas season who are a lot like Mary and Joseph. Maybe they ain't got much. Oh, maybe they are divorced. Maybe there's no room for them in the end either. Maybe they're wondering, where is God in all this? But don't you see, that's the wonderful thing about the true Christmas story. It's a story precisely about people like that. It's a story about God doing for the lonely, the needy, and even the guilty. For you see, in all of the things that seemed to be going terribly wrong, the loving hand of the Lord was at work. Why, just consider what they named that babe in the manger.
They named him Jesus.
And I know as a pastor, you know what that name means.
Well, as a matter of fact, I do. They named him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins.
Yep, in the midst of everything going wrong, God was determinedly bringing his love and forgiveness to his people. Why, even the hard-hearted ones, Matt. In fact, there was an important reason for that babe to be in a manger. As difficult as it must have been for Mary, God had a loving purpose in mind for that, too. In fact, a purpose that personally involved me. Oh, but you all don't want to hear about me, shy fellow that I am. I think I better just shut up now.
Well, yeah, Amos, I am surprised at how reticent you are.
Yeah.
But maybe, just maybe, we could pry a few more words from you. We really would like to know the personal connection that you have with the manger.
Do you really? Really?
Oh, I yes, we do.
Well, I guess if you really want me, I could go on. Well,
why doesn't that surprise me? Well, yes, Amos, please go on and do so in your shy, timid way.
All right. Let me suggest to you all that none of these things, the manger included, were happening by accident. Rather, the Word of God directed all these events in order to give these people faith to keep on going in difficult circumstances.
What do you mean, Amos?
Well, take Mary, for instance. The Bible tells us the very same day she became pregnant, she left her hometown to stay with her relative Elizabeth, as I said. As I said, many of her kinfolk later thought she fled in shame, embarrassed at being with child and without a husband. But the truth is, she went there to Elizabeth in faith in the Word of God.
In faith in the Word of God?
Well, yes, don't you remember? The angel told her that her kinsfolk Elizabeth, though well past the age of childbearing, would soon be a mother. I'm sure Mary found it hard to believe that being a virgin, she could have a child. So God gave her a sign so that her faith would be strengthened, and she might know what is impossible for a man is possible for God. So she went to Elizabeth's house to see if the word of God was true.
And what did she find?
She found it was just as had been told her by that angel of God. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with the future John the Baptist, and by the way, Matt, that baby even leaped for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. Don't you see, Elizabeth and the little unborn baby was God's sign to strengthen the faith of Mary. Now, God did the same thing for Joseph.
Oh, how so?
Well, again, when Joseph decided to go ahead and take Mary as his wife, everyone just assumed he was the real father and he was marrying her out of shame. Shame, shame, shame. But nothing could be further from the truth. Joseph also did what he did out of faith. You see, the word of God came to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And Joseph was given a sign of sorts as well. He was instructed to name the baby Jesus because, as you pointed out, he would save his people from their sins. And in faith, that's exactly what he did. But the best, get this, the best of all of God's words and signs was the one that came to us shepherds.
Oh, God gave you a sign as well.
Oh, indeed he did. Do you know why that babe was laid in a manger?
Well, no, not really.
But that was for the benefit of us shepherds. Of course, I realize it must have caused Joseph some concern that they couldn't find any room for his family in the inn. And having that babe in a stable, of all places, must have posed some hardship upon Mary. But it was the greatest and most merciful thing God could do for a bunch of shepherds.
Well, I'm not sure I understand, Amos.
Well, come on. Let's face it, Pastor Matt. Where that baby deserved to be born was in some feather comforter. In some fancy cradle, in the penthouse suite of the Bethlehem Hilton. But if he had been born there, why, we'd never got to see him.
Why not?
Well, come on, as a pastor, you ought to know why. There's just some places where people like us, you know, dirty old shepherds and Lutheran pastors, aren't wanted.
Well, that's true.
Well, like a bunch like us, we couldn't even get through the lobby of a fancy place like the Bethlehem Hilton, little less up to the penthouse suite. Yeah, you gotta be duded all up to go there, black tie and everything. Now, the fact of the matter is, we wouldn't even have thought about going if that's where the angel had told us we would find the child. But now a manger, that's a different story altogether.
Well, I think that you're the first person who's ever referred to me as a dirty old pastor. Actually, I'm the dirty young pastor. The other guy, Pastor Judge, is the dirty old pastor.
Yeah, we know about him.
That's a whole other story. But I think I see what you mean. And certainly mangers and stables, they're places where a shepherd would feel at home.
Well, in fact, we knew the stable well. We'd even boarded our sheep there on occasion. So we, too, heard the word of the Lord, saw the sign he had given, and believed.
Well, it's just a shame that God doesn't do the same for people today.
What you talking about? But he does, Pastor Matt. The living God still speaks to us. Oh, maybe not in dreams and angels, but surely through his holy scripture.
But if he'd only give us a sign, like he did for you.
Oh, but he has given signs, Pastor Matt. Why, he's given you baptism and the Lord's Supper.
But many people would say that they are pale signs in comparison to actually seeing the Son of God lying in a manger.
Now, Pastor Matt, think about what we saw that night. It was just an ordinary baby lying in a very unusual place. Now, the pictures you see on Christmas cards notwithstanding, the manger did not glow in the dark, and there was no halo on the child, nothing to indicate that he was anything other than just another little baby. We couldn't see it, but we knew what he was because of what the Word of God had told us. We knew and rejoiced he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And like baptism, it seems just like ordinary water, but as God's Word says now, baptism saves you. And the supper may look just like bread and wine, but Jesus tells us it's his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins.
Well, I see what you mean, Amos. We're really no different than the people of that first Christmas. We have our struggles. Things don't always work the way we planned. And sometimes we wonder where God is in all of this. But like you shepherds, we have his word. And we have the signs of his promise.
And the word and promise hasn't changed over 2,000 years. As God said to us, so he says to you and to your listeners, unto you this day is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Could we stop it there, Matt? Is that all right? I know there's more to the interview. But
yeah, we'll stop the tape there. And
excuse me.
Do we have a? I understand we have a special.
Yes, that's right.
This piece is your, of music
this
just
is your
for
first,
Christmas special.
Christmas with us here. By the way, hit the sound effect one more time, would you?
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Okay.
Apparently, Amos does.
Amos
it was
does.
Good to talk to
yeah,
Amos.
Glad
the
to share that with us. Yes, we have, of course, one of the great Christmas songs of all time is the great Messiah by Handel. And of course, the Hallelujah Chorus, I think, is something everyone loves to hear at the Christmas time. The only problem is, Matt, we can't afford the rights to do the Hallelujah Chorus.
Messiah. Yeah.
Now, people don't realize that. That's a pretty expensive piece. The whole Handel estate continues to make millions and millions of dollars. It's kind of like Elvis Presley. Handel actually makes more money now that he's dead than he ever did when he was alive. So what we do here at Wrestling with the Basics, we have another bit of music, which is kind of similar, but not quite the same. But we don't have to pay anything to use this.
But it's free, huh?
That's right. So, Matt, have you got it booted up there?
It's ready.
Let's hear a little bit as our attrition here for WWB at Christmas is the Jalapeno Chorus. And here we go. Here we are. Just sit back and enjoy.
Jalapeno, 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 jalapeno.
The Jalapeno Chorus. It is a tradition here at Wrestling with the Basics. We've been doing that for probably about 20 years, Matt.
That's great.
And it's amazing to think we're still doing it 20 years later.
Well, I was wondering, should I stand up or not for this? Because usually during the Alleluia Chorus, when they perform it.
You better get ready for the real closing here, Matt. Yeah, that's right. No, you don't have to stand up for the Jalapeno Chorus. Matt, hey, seriously, blessed Christmas to you. I pray God gives you the words to tell people about the Savior who has come to save us and to save the world. And so may you have a very blessed Christmas celebration.
And you too. God's blessings to you and your family, John, and to all of our listeners as well as we celebrate that our Savior is born for us, for you.